Well, this Sunday, we're taking a look at work. And we're taking a look at work for a couple of reasons, not least of which is, well, it's a good thing to talk about. It's in Scripture in lots of different places. And there's a particular take on work that Paul talks about in our Thessalonians reading that I think is worth spending some time with, not just because of the directions that it pushes us, but there's at least one very tempting but rather erroneous interpretation to throw on some of what he says, and I'm not saying anyone here has come to this interpretation, but we're going to talk about it just in case to make sure that we don't. Because what we need to realize right from the very beginning is that when Paul is talking about here is not so much work in and of itself. This isn't a clearly laid out systematic theology of work. What Paul's talking about here is about idleness. And if we don't understand the context that Paul's talking to these people in, we're going to have difficulties getting to what he's actually talking about. And so we need to remember that all through this passage of Scripture, what Paul is talking about is don't be idle. And there's some challenges with that because we don't really know what idle means because really none of us do it. Idle in this case is not just a not working. It's not particularly equivalent to when your car is not in gear and the engine's just ticking over, letting you know that it's running but not doing anything. Idleness in this case is characterized by not just a lack of work, but as Paul talks about later on, being a force of interference in other people's work. P.G. Woodhouse, who's certainly not a philosopher of any sort or anything like it, has a great remark that he just has a throwaway in one of his books where he talks about how almost no one has the capacity to actually be idle, to just do nothing, to just sort of sit there and do nothing. Almost none of us can do that. Very, very few people. We have to be doing something. And what Paul is talking about here are people who, rather than working, are now interfering with other people. In the New International Version, he describes these people as they're not busy, they are busybodies, which I think is just a very lovely turn of phrase and takes full advantage of some of the benefits of the English language. But Paul is against idleness on the one hand and is hinting or alluding to a thoroughgoing biblical truth that work has fundamental value. The act of work has value in and of itself. The outcome also has value. But we need to get past this notion that work is... I've heard some people refer to work as a necessary evil. And that's not true. It's not true in how we work, in how we function as human beings here, and it's certainly not true in Scripture. Because work, the accomplishment of tasks... predates the fall. And if work was a necessary evil, then Adam and Eve would never have done it. Because, well, there was no evil until the fall. Whereas before the fall, Adam was given, among other things, the task of naming the animals. And there's all kinds of theological nuances we could talk about that particular act. But the fact remains that Adam was asked to do things explicitly in Scripture before the admission of sin into the world. So work has value all by itself. And what Paul is helping people realize here is that idleness, a refusal to work, isn't just a foolish thing to do. It's actually a sinful thing to do. And this is where we run into the very tempting, very bad interpretation. I've seen this... passage of Scripture used frequently by people who I think should know better, but maybe they don't, as a reason why under no circumstances anyone should ever receive welfare. That welfare in and of itself is sinful, Paul says right there. Except Paul doesn't say that at all. But Paul says if a person will not work, they should not eat. Paul is not saying someone who has had a catastrophic brain injury and can't work should therefore starve to death and die. That's not what Paul is saying. There is no indication anywhere in this passage of Scripture that charity, that welfare, that anything extended to people who are unable to work is anything other than a good thing, because it's not addressed anywhere here. But when we talk about reaching out to those who are unable to care for themselves, you will nowhere in Scripture find that act, the act of giving to those who are unable to work, who are unable to care for themselves, is always approved in Scripture. Because that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul isn't talking about taking care of people who are ill, taking care of people whose the industry that they have trained their entire life for has been completely destroyed and ceases to exist. Paul is not saying here that every blacksmith who, in the face of automobiles, was supposed to just, I don't know, curl up and die. That's not what Paul's talking about. What Paul is talking about here is he's saying that people who are under the impression that they can choose whether or not they should take care of themselves, and if they just don't feel like it, they should just live off the backs of others. That's just not on. And furthermore, because human beings find it very difficult, if not impossible, to be actually idle, we end up doing something. The thing that I find so interesting is the number of people who have moved into a successful retirement. And to me, a successful retirement, particularly for men, is any retirement that lasts more than 3 years. Because all things being equal, men who retire and then try to do nothing, they last about 2.5 years. And it's sad to say, but that's often the case. And something happens, usually a heart attack. People with a successful retirement, men and women both, are the kind of people that when you talk to them about what they're doing, they frequently say things like my father did. And I called him a year after he retired and I asked how he was doing. I was living in Saskatchewan, he was still in Alberta. He said, you know, I don't know how I ever found time enough to go to work. He retired. He worked hard for more than 40 years. And he was in a position where he could then retire on a pension that allowed him to accomplish things that he wanted to do. He could have sat around and watched television and played with the dog, and that would have been, and he would have still been okay. But instead, he was busy. He didn't get another job, as some people do in retirement. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. But what he did is he increased, to a certain extent, his involvement in the church. He spent more time with his friends and associates that he didn't have as much time to spend before because he was at work for a good part of the day. And he had a rich and full life. After he retired, he then joined us in Saskatchewan and got his bachelor's degree, starting at 64. This is not an idle person, because he, like the vast majority of us, can't do idleness. We need to do something. And if we're not careful, we'll do whatever's most convenient or whatever's easiest, because there's still that part of the human being that looks for efficiency in doing and looks for the easy way in just about everything. And if we're not careful, when we're not working, when we're not working towards particular goals, it's very easy for us to fall into the kind of actions that Paul talks about. Being a busybody, it's easy to fall into the trap of interfering with other people. Because we need to do something, and so we may as well go and, well, see what these people are doing, and see what we can do there. And in the best sense, we go there and we help out. But Paul's saying some of these people, instead of being gainfully employed, whatever that looks like, whether that's getting a salary or getting paid or it's providing some kind of value in both directions, these people are just interfering. That in their idleness, they're actually making things worse. That's what Paul's talking about. Work is biblical. The accomplishment of worthwhile goals is something that we see all through Scripture. work to be valuable and to be biblical doesn't have to be paid. But work is that outpouring, that outgrowth of who we are. When we exercise our gifts, that's a kind of work. It's a satisfying kind of work, because work in and of itself is satisfying. If you talk to people and ask them to talk about some of their best days ever, just get them talking and just reminisce a little bit about some of the best days you've had. Some of them involve vacations, to be sure. And some of them are sort of lazy days in the summer where not much happened. But frequently, when people talk about their best days ever, they talk about things they did. They talk about work that was accomplished. And maybe it was a job where they got paid, but maybe it was a volunteer thing. People will talk about that time they got together with friends to help somebody out, whether it was with a harvest, of course, top of mind this time of year, whether it was to help them put up a garage, whether it was to help them put together a big meal, whatever it might be. We find that satisfying because that's part of who we are as human beings. We want to work. And when we don't, we tend to go in bad directions. If you are one of those people who has been given the gift of idleness, go ahead, be idle. I don't think you are. I'm not saying it's impossible. I am saying I myself have never met anyone who can do that. And when we think of work, and when we think of who should and who shouldn't, we need to expand our view of what work is. I mean, first of all, we need to remind ourselves that work is a fundamental good. Overwork is not. Work addiction is not. Forcing people to work at dead-end jobs for not enough money to support their families is not the same as what we're talking about, the fundamental value of work. That's another conversation that maybe we'll have someday, or maybe we won't, I don't know. But work isn't evil. Work is good. And from that perspective, we then look to see what is the work that we do. Sometimes the work that we do that we get paid for is something that we simply do to provide the resources for those other kinds of work that we do that we really enjoy. To go back to my father for a moment, he worked for Canada Post for 40 years. And every once in a while, I was around when people would ask him, like, how could you stand that? He delivered mail, you know, out in all the weather and all that kind of thing. And he also did some inside work over the years. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, boring, it's this, it's that. He said, well, first of all, I don't live to work, I work to live. And by having that job, I was able to raise my kids. I was able to support the church. I was able to be in a position where he could volunteer in the church. These are the kinds of things that his job provided. And I asked him, I said, like, so did you love your job? He said, no, of course not. It was just a job. But it was okay. There were lots of things that he found that he could like. He liked his coworkers. He liked being outside. My dad liked dogs. He didn't mind meeting them. Like a lot of these things that people complain about. He looked for what he could like in his work. Because work was something he needed to do. That the work itself had value. And then you find what you enjoy. But in his case, it wasn't a matter of, you know, find what you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. Another one of those delightful half-truths, that if you spend your whole time looking to be paid for doing what you love, I'm willing to guarantee that you will spend most of your life unhappy. And it's one of those things that we have been pushing on this younger generation and really not helping them a lot. Find the things that you love to do and do them. And then figure out a way that you can somehow make that happen. My dad never got paid a penny for all the work he did in the church. He would have been offended if somebody would have tried, because he was there as a volunteer, as a layperson. He had a job so he could do that. That's someone who understood what work was. That work has value, and what it allows you to accomplish has value. And looking down on work or pretending that you don't need to is going to take you down a path to a place you don't want to go. Paul says, idleness, interfering with other people, getting in the way of what someone else is trying to do because you can't find what it is that you should do. When we step away from the idea that this passage of Scripture has anything to do with any kind of political discussion of any sort, which is helpful because, as I said, it's been misused that way, and instead we look at it from the perspective of all things being equal, most people fall into two categories. Those who understand that work is something they're going to do and they're going to look for the best they can out of it, and those people look at work as something they should try and get out of. And Paul says if you're trying to get out of work, well, you're making some very bad decisions. And in his case, he even goes so far as to say, if you're the kind of person who looks to get out of work, you probably shouldn't even be fed. It's a bit of hyperbole. I don't think Paul was advocating sort of tossing people to the wolves to starve to death. But I think what he's saying is, let's pay attention to what it is that we say by our actions. And when we refuse to work, when we just sort of hang around and get in other people's way, we're saying an awful lot about ourselves and about what the Bible has to say about work overall, none of which we want to say. So, the rhetorical question, work is biblical, comes across with a very strong, yes, it is. God created work. We were created to work, not to work ourselves into the ground. Not to work ourselves into a frenzy. Not that we would look upon work as the sum total of who we are. We don't look to work to find our self-esteem and our value. But we work because we need to. Because we have things to offer that no one else does. And that every time we use our gifts, every time we take advantage of our talent, our experience, our training, every time we put that into use, whether we get paid for it or not, it's work. It makes a difference. It makes a difference to us. It makes a difference to the world. Work is biblical because we were created to work. Not only to work. I'll take that half-truth out of here. We were created to do things. To work in partnership with God. Take the world that has fallen to be sure, and to make it the best it can possibly be. To bring out the best in the people around us, and sometimes that takes work. Bring out the best in ourselves, which I know for me takes work. The work is biblical. It's worth celebrating the work that we do, paying attention to it, delighting in it when it's delightful. Because work can be delightful. And remembering always, we are created to work in the same way that God works, in a way that brings creation and life. Amen.